Hello and welcome to the Interjections Podcast. This is subtitled The Undiscovered Decade because we've been going through for the past 6 years movies that are 30 years old. We're in our seventh season
Good
already.
Lord.
We started this deep in the year 2020 when we were all shuttered off and we thought, let's take a look back at our childhood and try to figure out what hidden gems were back there. We've learned a lot of lessons over the years and we've had some favorite actors and actresses pop up and one of them was Sandra Bullock. We hadn't covered her yet. And we noticed for January 1996, there's a movie called To If by Sea. As is our wants, we have a spinner wheel that we pick who's going to describe the
Oh
film.
God, I forgot it's back.
I forgot about that too, weirdly
That's
enough.
right.
I forgot until 5 minutes ago.
I
I
haven't
just
had
made
to
it.
worry about it for
Damn
3 months.
it. And here we go. Who's it going to be to describe?
Why do I have twice the
I
Who's
almost got.
Marvin? Well, it got me anyway.
Oh.
Yay. Okay. Well, this is your standard rom-com 90s Bonnie and Clyde wannabe, where Dennis Leary and his longtime suffering girlfriend, played by Sandra Bullock. He's got one last job. He's doing a heist, doing an art thief gig. And he's like, yeah, this is it, and then I'll go straight, babe. And she's like, yeah, sure, why not? And so they find themselves in deep in the throes of what state was it? Connecticut?
Rhode Island.
Rhode Island, somewhere
It's
in New
actually
England.
filmed in Nova Scotia, but
Some hoity-toity New England town
reminds me
where,
of Montauk.
they come into contact with all the usual suspects with their three-quarter zip sweaters and fancy liquor cabinets, and then they end up squatting at some abandoned house and make up some story about why they're there, and then chaos ensues.
Yeah, that's pretty much
Couple
it.
of small-time crooks
It's New
don't want a big payoff.
England, because it's the film is referencing the Paul Revere ride, Two If by Sea, One If by Land, or whatever, right? Is that what
Right.
it is?
What if I land you if I see?
Yeah.
Yes.
But the film has a different name in England because they don't like that, because that is about them losing. So they actually had a different title called Stolen Hearts, which is kind of cute, but very generic. You know, this is a film that's sort of dumped in January, so I wonder if that's the thing. Two If by Sea is actually kind of a dynamic title, if you think about it.
Right.
And that is, I think they should have leaned more into the small town nature of it, because they find themselves involved with this guy who's a neighbor of the place they're squatting in. They sort of happenstance, they read that there's someone away for the season, even though this is the season a lot of people will come to that town probably. And they end up befriending him, a guy played by Stephen Delane. Jeff called out the twist right away, because
I know it.
what would happen? He's the art thief they've been looking for. So a little predictable, but the thing that I think brought this film together, at least in some way, was they actually have some chemistry. I like Dennis Leary and Sandra Bullock together. Sometimes it doesn't work, but I think that's more of the writing, which Dennis Leary would argue he had quite a good script that was ruined by the director, but
Sure.
I don't know. I think Sandra Bullock's just adorable and she can elevate what she's given a little bit, and Dennis Leary has enough sarcasm to get by. He's sort of placed into a lot of unfortunate situations, like what was with the thing facing down the deer, you know?
Yeah, the whole
That
movie
was
is
unfortunate. The
just
fly
Dennis.
fishing incident was unfortunate.
It's just Dennis Leary dealing with wildlife. When he's not, he's
He's
wildlife and/or
woefully
Sandra
inadequate.
Bullock.
I think if they just stuck with the whole premise that Jeff described, where it's just he wants to do one last job, she's already done, we shouldn't be criminals anyway, I want to settle down, we're 30, like, let's get out of this lowlife
I
situation.
remember those days.
Unfortunately, I
Boosting
thought.
Matisse paintings at 29.
Right?
I thought Sandra Bullock was kind of doing a reproduction of Marissa Tomei from My Cousin Vinny.
Sure. Yeah, the little accent, she's from
I'm
Jersey.
pretty sure this is what got her Miss Congeniality, though.
It's proto
Better than that.
that, yeah.
But no, I well, th there were little metaphors that I was trying to shove in there because I'm like, I need to get something out of this. Like when he catches himself fly fishing, I was like, oh, get it? He was fishing and he caught himself, and it was he got
I don't think
there was
this
a
script
lesson
is
there
deep.
somewhere.
Yeah, I don't
I
think you need
know.
to save this film.
I was putting it away too. Well, the most insane thing about this was Tristan pointed out, it has the same cinematographer as the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Andrew
And
Lesney. No way.
so this entire time we're watching this and we're just like, you know, this is basically I can see all of the characters from Lord of the Rings in these same New England towns in these same
In
little
New England
situations.
Shire? He does like
Yes.
one more film before he goes out to New Zealand and films all those. So this is sort of his practice before going to do Lord of the Rings.
Interesting.
You know, instead of a field of orcs, it's a Dodge Neon on the highway and
Yeah. Winking
outrunning
with
the cops.
indistinct.
Everything connects.
Oh,
But
you
there were
know what?
also just some, what were you gonna
Sorry,
say?
the one film that he did in between was Babe, Pig in the City.
A
So actually,
another
that has a good eye.
another masterpiece. Like, what an insane run.
Yeah.
Like, what
Babe,
is just
Babe, Two Leaves by
that
Sea, Babe, Pig of the City, The Lord of the Rings,
so
and The
two Babe
Hobbits.
mo both Babe movies,
Yep.
this shit,
All six
and then
Hobbit films.
somewhere along the line, Peter Jackson was just like, hey, you want to film the most ridiculously well done,
Ambitious project.
most, yeah, ridiculously ambitious
Well,
project in cinema history.
the more I hear about Lord of the Rings, the more I'm like, they did not know if this was going to be successful, and they got all of it out at once in case they ran out of money. They're very lucky that it works.
So this film
I honestly thought Ben's Leary wasn't very good in the movie. And I
Oh.
think it's the material. He comes off very coarse and homophobic.
That pops up a lot.
A little bit too much.
I think that's a thing of the 90s, though. I remember when we were kids and in high school and stuff, we'd just say, oh, that's gay. And it was just natural. So I think that's sort of a sentiment. People weren't thoughtful back then, you know? And
Yeah.
so homophobia ran rampant
It was
very easily.
almost like a reverse Pygmalion, you know. She was trying to make a gentleman out of him. One of the biggest points in the movie was, you know, they're at this guy's party and she's genuinely trying to have a good time and pretend they're rich and actually like do things, and he's just calling people out and busting balls all night and just like being a genuine asshole and blowing their cover, and
Yeah.
it's
Felt like a weird tonal shift there. Like she felt natural in any situation where they
Right.
were, and he always felt like he was a bull in a china shop. Maybe that's the point, but
It's because he couldn't use his special powers to get out of it.
what special powers?
Oh, you know, the ones that the
Oh,
editing
right.
accidentally added.
Oh,
So
right.
there's one cut, and I don't know if you're gonna cut this in. So there's one cut in the movie where he's looking over the balcony, and like she just came back to him or something after they had their big fight. You know, they spent a couple minutes apart. You know, so long sappy montage, and then you see her in the distance, and he's overlooking on the balcony, and then they did not move the camera. It just fades and dissolves to see Dennis Leary running down to her
On the hill.
at the bottom of the hill. And I'm like, could he just
Teleport.
do that the whole time? And
Yeah.
it's just not
Yeah.
so, and so like through
He'd be
just a
the best
weird.
thief.
Right, it was just a weird
Yeah.
editing thing. It was just like, you're a thief. You can't just like. And so it made it look
Made me
like he could
think,
teleport wherever he wanted to.
made us want that movie instead of what
Right.
we
I'm like,
got.
this is. We need a better movie. Like, this is basically Jumper.
Yeah.
You're making me think of how mangled the not only the editing is, but like cinematography wise, there's some really obtrusive shots. Like there's one part where Yaphet Kotto is basically reprising his role from Midnight Run.
True.
And he's probably the best thing in the movie. There's a part where he's talking to his superior, and you just get a close-up of the guy fiddling with a paperclip. Do you remember the shot? And I'm just like, that was needlessly ostentatious. And then there's another like Barry Sonnenfeld like corkscrew shot down to an envelope getting pushed under a door. Why?
I'm telling you, it's practice for Lord
He
of
was,
the
yeah, he's just like, you
Rings.
know, we got a sizable budget on this one. Let me see if I can throw some weird things in so that I can figure it out.
Yeah.
This movie is just about the gig economy, you know, when you think about it. One of my
Yeah.
favorite lines, though.
We should remake it.
No.
Thieves in this day and age.
There's some things we should just leave in 1996. But one of my favorite lines was at one point, they're having some argument, and Sandra Bullock just goes, "How many thieves you know got day jobs?" And I was like, "All of them? The ones that we know." I don't know.
Good
That's
joke.
just
Yeah.
we got
Whoa.
re
Oh. I think the movie was all right. Maybe I'm being forgiving because I go into January films thinking, why were they placed in January? Was there editing mishaps? Was the production just a little lazy? Do they not think they can sell this in the summer, which is often what most studios wanted back then? at least up until recently. And so, unless it has Oscar buzz or box office draw, it's going to get dumped in one of the awkward months,
Right.
September or January. This, she's coming off of While You Were Sleeping, one of the biggest films in 1995.
Yeah, what
So
drew her to this?
to have another level for her, yeah, money maybe. I don't
There's
know.
gotta be.
I couldn't find any other information other than what's on Wikipedia,
Or
so it's not
probably
like.
like, I mean, I can agree with what you're saying too. Like she and Dennis Leary did have some sort of chemistry. So like the two of them have that same sort of like, huh, we get to work together. That would could be interesting. So maybe that was.
I just wish the plot hadn't meandered and ambled along for as long as it did.
It's a rom-com, man. I
But
don't know what you
also,
expect.
it's isn't it horribly contrived that the kid on the island has surveillance
Oh, right.
everywhere?
The
Yeah, Jonathan Tucker.
little mini
Yeah.
Kevin McAllister over there.
Yeah, I want my $50 instead of my $2.
Right.
It's the
That I
ripoff.
thought immediately was a ripoff of Better Off Dead. Much superior film. The criminal cohorts in this are like lobotomized, how stupid they are.
Yeah, we didn't even bring them up. It's kind of a wasted plot.
That's a whole subplot they could have
If you
cut out.
excised that whole thing, it'd be a better film,
His
honestly.
boss was played by, God damn it, what was his name? With the eyes.
Wayne Robson, is
Yeah.
that it?
Also, Mike Starr shows up again in one of the movies we talk about. Mike Starr is like a patron saint in the podcast.
He is. Yeah, Mike Starr's one of his thugs. None of them get any shining moment to play off of. Wayne Robson just like yells a lot and they do the dumbest things and Yavakoto has to just follow them and as they lead him to Dennis
He's
Leary.
not a great FBI agent, by the way.
No, he's kind of lazy and he's been hung up on finding. I guess Stephen Delane is the head of the whole
He's the guy
operation,
he's been
right?
looking for this whole
Okay.
time. Faked his death.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that this movie could have done with if you replace the 2-bit cronies that he's working for with just more shots of him wandering around encountering
Teleporting
wildlife and just
poor
what
people in the
happens when
town. The town's like
this.
empty.
Oh, fuck the town. It was just him in the wild. Him and all
That's
those
all.
rich bastards. No, I would just want to see him talk to a deer for 10 minutes and try to figure
Okay.
out what to do.
Well,
Fumbling around with
you
his
just
gun.
want Ice Age.
Basically, I mean,
Yeah.
this is what
That's what he ends up with.
it's Dennis Leary in a children's movie.
I really think the reason I'm trying to bring it back to the town is because we've had some of these small things. Like I'm thinking about Dolores Claiborne last year. I just watched for Halloween Practical Magic, thinking it would be a better horror film. It's kind of schmaltzy, and that's what Sandra does a couple years after this. It would be more interesting to try and see them fake their way through high society and realize that it's okay to be where they are. That should be the lesson they learn. You know, it's you're
Right.
whoever you are, whatever class you're at. And so if he's a jerk when he's rich, he'll be a jerk when he's poor too, or if
Right.
he, you know what I'm trying to get at. And if
Yeah.
she's giving everyone the benefit of the doubt at her level, she's going to give everyone the benefit of the doubt when she's rich, hopefully. So maybe they could have given them something else to strive for, not just money and settling down. Like maybe she wants to horseback ride, and that's where Stephen Delane came in and taught her how to horseback ride. And now she has the opportunity to actually do that. Then the love triangle actually blends better. He's not just pouting around, Dennis Leary. So it gives Stephen Delane something more to do. It gives Dennis Leary something more to play off of.
Although,
I don't
fun
know.
fact, apparently during filming, Sandra Bullock discovered she was allergic to horses.
Weird.
Yeah. Well,
Shame
it's not the
when
type
that's
of
the
thing you would
thing.
commonly realize.
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
Yeah.
She's not, that kind of rich and famous yet where she's just like, get me my polo pony. Like, it's.
Right. But yeah, I can see a good film in here, and maybe there is a point to Dennis saying that his script got torn apart. There was a review I found somewhere that was talking about how it's disrespectful to the hallowed grounds of criminal cinema. What I assume they're talking about the thugs with Wayne Robson. Like they're not really that interesting, but it's not like they're shitting on Goodfellas with this movie, you know? It's fine. It's just not a very interesting plot. So it's like they're trying to have two films and they only have like half an hour of each subplot. And if you just take the main plot, the one with the two criminals, it would be more interesting.
Yeah.
Flesh that out more without having the worry of people coming to get them, you know?
Right.
Like in fact, in Practical Magic, Aidan Quinn comes to find something that's been going on. Goran Viznik has been killed. I'm spoiling that for you. And he's investigating his death. And that leads him to the witches in Practical Magic. So maybe Yaphakoto stumbles upon the crimes, and then they have to hide that from him. Maybe he's just part of the town, and his agent, his office is nearby. It's not like he's tracking them.
Oh, right.
You know?
Yeah, that was the whole other thing. I completely forgot about that. How
Exactly.
they're
It
being
is
chased
forgettable.
down
Yeah.
by Vakoto, who's
It's kind of a waste.
the most apt police officer on the force, surrounded by idiots. Like,
And that can be funny,
yeah.
but I think if they were together the whole time, it's him against Leary, and then Leary's also trying to make sure Yafikota doesn't find him while he's in town. He's trying to make sure Stephen Delane doesn't steal his girl. Turns out that's the person Yaf has been looking for. You know, it just make it a tighter film, it might work better.
Yeah.
This
Although I
is what
did think
I
it worked
like
out
trying
that
to
it was
figure
like
out.
the one big payoff was that, it takes a thief to know one.
That was fine.
Dennis Leary was the one that found the secret room where all the real paintings were being kept, and then he got like a full
Doesn't
pardon
take
or
much
whatever it was.
investigation for him to find it either.
Yeah, it's just like, hey, don't touch that painting that I told you not to touch.
Oh
And then he
no.
was like, I wonder.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is funny that the art thief goes to so much trouble to hide his art within the art. Put it somewhere else. Like, not in your own house.
But his entire house was art.
I know.
He had
But he
nowhere
has
else
to
to.
make facsimiles as well. I don't know.
Yeah, it's
Not
like.
a very smart art thief in the end.
No. Neither one of them.
This is the first time he has any challenge from anybody. And he didn't really set himself up to be hidden that well. I think he gets too greedy, and that's the thing. He's trying to get this painting.
You wanted too much.
Yeah.
You flew too close to the sun.
Yeah. And it never really feels dangerous. Like, he never feels like a threat
No.
because you don't know, you're not supposed to know who he is until the twist.
Even though I've seen enough 80s movies to not trust anyone in that well-kept a sweater.
It does, to your point about Kodo being in Midnight Run, it does feel like it could have been along the lines of Midnight Run. Like, he's kind of an innocent guy who's
Sure.
good at his job being a criminal, but he shouldn't stick to that. Making me not like this film as much as I thought I did.
We had a good time watching it, though, and that's what
Yeah.
counts.
Yeah. It's always better watching a film
It
next
could
to
be
it.
because I watched it by myself.
Yeah. I think if all three of us
I
actually
think you
watch
need a
these movies
buddy.
together, yeah.
So I'm gonna give it a B for
Sure.
buddies.
Generous. I'm trying to think if there's anything else we wanted to talk about before I give a grade.
Well,
No.
the trivia lines are only four.
No.
There's only four entries in the trivia
I know.
category,
Did you see who
and
the editor was in the guide? It's this guy, Bruce Green, who made one of your favorite movies. You just mentioned it in the December episode.
Bruce Green.
The Princess Diaries.
Oh. Really?
Yeah. Same editor.
Your favorites?
Well, we
He
talked about
also
it last episode, the
he
joke.
also worked on Home Alone 3.
Well, that is unfortunate.
The other thing I mentioned in the guide, I don't know if you guys clicked on that because I only sent it to you earlier today. Bill Bennett, the director who came out of Australia doing a bunch of documentaries we've never heard of and a couple of other narrative films, this is kind of his biggest thing. I sent you a video, which I will include a link at the bottom. He had done an advert that got him the nickname Milk Fingers because he tried to show in Australian news as a reporter, like, you know those cartons that you can never quite open? You always have to stick your finger in and you don't know if the germs are getting in there. And I tried it on the street. I tried to show if people could do it. And then at the end he's like, oh, well, now I've learned a new way to how to do it. And the milk explodes in his face, live on television in the news. And he just kind of
Good
walks away.
old milk fingers.
That's Bill Bennett's legacy.
I mean, there are worse.
But yeah, I might give this a B minus for Bill.
All right, Corey, put the nail in the
I think I'm
coffin.
gonna give it a C minus.
Woof.
There we go.
Because I think, huh? Be honest.
Finally.
I think it's a sputtering romantic comedy that just kind of meanders along. And honestly, I think they're kind of miscast in both the roles. I expect Dennis Leary, even if he's playing hapless, he's always a little more wiseacre and smarter. And Sandra Bullock is basically, like I said, plagiarizing what Marissa Tomei did.
Testing herself for Miss Congeniality too.
Yeah, basically. And the plot itself just is not that interesting.
Yeah, like I said, we drummed up the plot a little bit, tightened it up. It's a little better. I may be a little biased on Sandra Bullock. She's like in her prime.
You know me, I'm just here to skew the data, and I'm also of the
Yeah.
mentality that, hey, you guys pick these movies that are
Yeah.
supposed to be hidden gems.
Well,
So
this is the best one.
I'm trying to look for the shininess
Yeah.
in those
I like
gems.
Yaphet Kotto.
And this is the best one that came out in January 1996.
Oh,
Of the,
yeah.
well, that's not true.
It
You sure? Oh, that's true. There was one film that has done pretty well as a cult classic that isn't quite a hidden gem.
There's another movie. And I'll get to that.
Yeah, it'll be your number one because it's the best one.
No. There's another movie that I probably could have
Oh.
qualified for this
Oh.
episode, but I forgot.
Oh.
Do you want me to go in the other films?
Sure, we're done with this, right? I don't think there's anything
I
else to
don't think
say
that
about
there's
it. Much else
just
to say about this.
there's sell it to the fish market and get it done.
There you go.
We're
So
done.
speaking of
That's a
another
line.
dynamic duo, Stephen Baldwin and Pauly Shore teamed up for Biodome.
Speaking of homophobia,
Good Lord.
well, that was more homoerotic, that movie, I feel.
it's a little weird. I don't know. I watched it this
Either
afternoon.
way, it's rancid, it's pathetic. I don't know what you thought of it.
It's one of the worst films I've ever seen.
It's one of the worst comedies ever made, but
Yeah, it's still better than some things I've seen, but it doesn't have any redeeming qualities.
I don't know if it's the worst Pauly Shore movie. That might be jury duty, but it's close.
This is the only live action Pauly Shore I've ever seen. Finally
Does
cracked
it make you
that.
eager to see the other ones?
No.
I saw him in Pauly.
Listen, I think he has something, but it was clear that in the 90s there was a lot of juvenile comedy flying around. Like South Park gets it right. Adam Sandler honed it to benefit him better. Pauly Shore started out and could have driven himself upwards with his humor, and he just kind of never got out of it. And
So, do
it's
you
not.
know that Pauly Shore is
So, yeah.
technically a Nepo baby?
Oh, right. His mom's the comedy store, right?
Yeah, Mitzi
Yeah.
Shore owned the
Yeah.
comedy.
Oh, right. And she like won't let him perform there because he's so bad.
Right?
Like, so it's does that count if you're a Nepo baby, but you're
He's
like
a
you were
Nepo
given
baby.
everything, but you fucked it up so bad that like they don't even want you anymore.
Someone clearly liked his comedy. I mean, I say he has good timing. I don't say he has good jokes.
Right.
So.
He's good in a goofy movie. And I think he kind of had a short burst of fame during his time on MTV. He had, like, spots on there, and maybe even had a show. But yeah, the whole surfer shtick that he was doing kind of ran its course by this point.
Right.
And this was the
Business.
last gasp of him having a box office career. I think this
Yeah.
would have been the last one to come out theatrically before they all started going direct to DVD.
It still made money. It cost 8 million but made 13, which isn't great. It still beat Two of By Sea at the box office. And
Oh, God.
here's an interesting thing about the movies of January. Nothing came out January 5th, the first weekend. All of these came out January 12th. So Two of By Sea came in 7th of the new movies
Yeah.
because all of them came out on the 12th. Biodome did better because it's slightly more exciting, I guess, to market. But how do you market all of these at once in January? Like, I'm not
Right.
surprised that none of these did well. I did think William Atherton was okay. He was kind of funny.
He's kind of typecast as a villain, though, at this point.
At that
And
point, right? After
yeah.
Ghostbusters, you know.
Yeah. And
But,
even Bernard.
right.
It's a shame because he had such a blossoming career when he was in Sugarland Express.
He's very good in that. If you haven't seen that, Sugarland Express is great. I did want to point out, I almost went to this Biodome, the real one.
Oh.
So there was a documentary back in 2021, I think, called Spaceship Earth, and it's about Biosphere 2, which is what Biodome came from. Back in 94 or so, they opened this up, and there were scientists that were wearing outfits like Atherton and the rest wear in that movie. The premise was basically, what if two idiots happened to fall in? But back in 2022 or so, Rebecca was going to do a course out there for learning more about the medical field, and it was going to be in Tucson, which is very close to Biosphere 2. So I almost went there, but I did a lot of research on it because I kind of want to write an adaptation of the documentary. The most interesting fact is that the real Biosphere 2 was funded by, of all people, Steve Bannon. So that was where he first came
The
from.
Trump administration. What else?
Yep.
Oh, God. Wait a second. There's another piece of trivia that you haven't brought up. First on-screen appearance of Tenacious D.
That's true. That was a good moment. I heard Jack Black's voice and I perked up.
Yeah.
So,
Oh, in Biodome?
yeah.
Yeah, for some reason.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm glad they had a nice career.
So when's the Biodome remake coming out?
They've been pushing for a sequel.
They try. Well, that's because neither of them are doing anything else.
Right, yeah.
Anyway, we've talked enough about Pauly Shore.
Unfortunately, the last live-action appearance of Rick Moranis up until Spaceballs 2 was in this next film, which is Big Bully, a juvenile comedy that hints and insinuates at being a darker, more insidious comedy than it could have been. It has a few laughs, but I think if they had gone full into like Neil Labute territory, I think This movie would have been pretty good, but unfortunately, it just
What's
kind of.
the premise?
So the premise is that Rick Moranis, as a kid, is bullied by Tom Arnold's character, and he gets him sent away to juvie for stealing a space rock. Rick Moranis is this award-winning author who comes back to teach English in the same small town that he grew up in, and Tom Arnold happens to be the shop teacher.
Okay.
And he doesn't realize that it's the same person until later, and when he does realize it, then comedic friction ensues.
Sure. Sounds like a decent idea.
It is. But like I said, they kind of hedged their bets by making it a PG-13. When I think if it had gone full hard R,
Like real dark.
real dark,
Yeah.
like a Death Smoochie type, I think it'd be good.
See? Ripe for a remake.
Exactly.
Fun fact about that is that Tom Arnold tied Pauly Shore at the Razzies that year for worst actor.
Well, he's got three bad ones this year. Three
Yeah,
or four, I
we
forget.
noticed him pop up as we were trying to pick. We're like, stay away from Tom Arnold.
Yeah.
Kind of the end of his career too.
It's a shame he couldn't parlay all that True Lies heat into anything substantial with a leading career. A big parody came out this month. I think I actually think this might be a cult classic too, and it's sporadically funny. It's a little pejorative at times, but it's occasionally funny. Sorry, this is an unwieldy title, so bear with me. Don't be a menace to South Central while drinking your juice in the hood, which is basically a setup of a lot of those John Singleton menace to society type
Yeah, I
movies.
mean, it has juice in the title and in the hood for Boys in the
Right,
Hood.
yeah. Basically like a test run before they did Scary Movie and literally perfected like their parody prowess. There's some good laughs in there, but it's not entirely successful, but it's better than anything Seltzer and Freeberg put out in the 2000s, so.
Is this the other one you wanted to that could have been?
No, the
Okay,
next one after
because I
this.
wanted to see this. I've thought of it since it came out as maybe a funny comedy, but would you recommend it, especially after us having seen Juice and Boys in the Hood?
Sure, yeah. No, there's stuff you'd recognize in there that's pretty funny.
Okay.
No, the one I was referring to was it's a sci-fi movie that's adapted from Philip K. Dick. It's called Screamers. Do you remember this movie?
Yeah, we saw it for the I saw it for the first time in the list that we could have gone through.
Okay, yeah. It's actually, I rewatched it again. It actually holds up pretty well. It's actually got a really intelligent script. Some of the special effects don't hold up that well. It's basically about this mining colony on a different planet that is basically being sabotaged by the corporation. The workers have an uprising and they're being hunted and pursued by the corporation
Okay.
with the Screamers, which are these cloaked automatons who come in different forms. And then it becomes almost like becomes like the thing because you're not sure who could be a screamer,
Who's
who could not, because they mutate into different forms.
okay, could be
But
good, yeah.
it's Peter Weller as
RoboCop.
the head of the expedition. Yeah, he's really good.
Okay.
So yeah,
That's
I would recommend it.
so d is this better than Two If by C?
Yes.
We should have done Screamers.
Yeah.
Ah, well.
Oh well. But the last
Jeff
movie, the best
Jeff's mad
movie.
because we're making fun of his movie.
Well, I'm sorry.
He doesn't care. Okay.
But the
What are
best
you talking about?
movie, which is basically Tarantino and Rodriguez before Grindhouse doing the flexing their B movie prowess with From Dusk Till Dawn, which is funny that this came out 30 years ago, and then we had a quasi companion piece last year with Sinners, similar template but goes off on its own direction. But
The detractors have called it a rip-off.
well,
It's more of an homage,
it's an homage,
which is a
please.
nice way to say that, but that's fine. Who cares? Sinners has its own plot. It's
Yeah,
not
it's
like
not
it's
the same.
the geckos ending up in a club. You know, it's its own thing. They just both happen to have vampires. So
Might, and it's Clooney at the height of his ER fame.
he had just gotten out of ER. This is his first feature film.
This is him still doing the nodding head, unfortunately. This is the best acting role that Tarantino's ever had, and it might be because it's tailor-made for him, because he's a lecherous creep in the movie.
Oh, there's a foot scene.
Yep, there's a foot scene I had forgotten about. Even again, the script is so literate that even if you didn't have the second half, because the vampires literally don't show up for an hour. Even if you didn't have that, you'd have a very taut, pumiced, pulse pounding crime drama in the first half. That even if that second half didn't happen, it's still a really good movie. It feels like it's more ghost directed by Tarantino than it's directed by Rodriguez. It definitely feels like a Tarantino film.
The thing I've always thought, and I haven't read this per se, but Tarantino's pretty established, and Rodriguez is coming up with stuff like El Mariachi. So
Right.
them teaming up is sort of like them playing off of each other. So I'm sure he ghost directed scenes, especially ones he's not in, you know, and anything maybe they plotted together, you know, choreography, ideas, whatever. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's just kind of a co thing and they didn't need to do that for whatever DGA rules, you
Yeah.
know. And who know, I don't, I haven't looked into the history of From Dusk Till Dawn, but is there a reason he's playing the part? Did he want to act more, or is it that he just was like, well, we couldn't find someone better?
Actually, this is a funny anecdote. Apparently he was trying to get they were casting for it and they saw George Clooney on TV, and then Robert Rodriguez apparently said to Quentin, he's like, "Oh, he kind of looks like you. You could be his brother." And that to which George Clooney was like, I don't,
They
but okay, we'll go with
got a
it.
chin.
It's the chin, right? That's really it. Everything above the chin is like
Honestly, I could see it. You know, it's fine. I like the movie. I haven't seen it in a long time.
it's good.
Have you ever seen it, Jeff?
Nope.
I think you'd like it. I don't know if I'd put it on the list, though.
I don't know. I am a Robert Rodriguez fan.
That's true.
Okay.
All right, I'll throw
So
it on there. Spy
surprisingly, I
Kids,
have not
Robert
seen it.
Rodriguez?
Well, yes and no. Spy Kids was my first introduction to him, but then I read his memoir at one point. I was just like, okay. And then I went back and watched El Mariachi and
Okay.
all the other stuff, except for this one. So
You
yeah,
bought me his biography.
it's a good
It
book.
is. It was pretty good. I remember you had a huge crush on Alexa Vega. That's
Yeah, that too. That makes
the
sense.
gateway.
That too. That was a different time in my life.
Well, we're her age,
I mean,
so
right. I know it
you
wasn't.
know.
We were all the same age. It was fine, but it was just like there was a reason. Let's just say I wasn't into the gadgets in that movie. Okay, it was just I wasn't watching it for the plot.
It is kind of cool that Clooney comes back for Spy Kids, right? Didn't he pop in?
Yeah, he does. And then Spy Kids is
He's married.
one of my favorite, one of the like hardest lines in the history of cinema came out of one of the Spy Kids movies.
Go ahead,
It's
what?
just it's Steve Buscemi staring off in the distance,
In the
saying
second
something
movie?
along, yeah, saying something along the lines of, "Do you think God stays in heaven because he's afraid of what he's created?"
What?
I remember
Oh
this. I'm
my
not gonna lie.
God. I've never seen any of them,
Yeah,
so I
it's
wouldn't
just
know.
it's one of those things that like you hear it and you're like, "Oh yeah, what movie is that from?" Spy Kids. What?
Spy Kids 2.
Spy Kids
It's
2.
even better.
Yeah. Line is, "Do you think God stays in heaven because he too lives in fear of what he's created here on Earth?" Spoken by the mad scientist Dr. Romero, played by Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, Romero.
Yes.
Well,
Anyway.
that brings us to our favorite portion of the podcast,
Yeah.
Poster Boy.
I'm back in the game.
Now, let me know if something's in the way again.
Skyscraper. No, too early. It's very clearly some sort of fancy business building or hotel in New York, and
It's the plaza.
there's a limo pulling up, and I'm guessing that missing pylon is where the title's supposed to be,
Maybe.
as well as these missing flagpoles.
Maybe.
I want to say Dunstan checks in, but I don't
Oh
know if
my
that's.
God. How
Wait,
did you
really?
do that?
Wait,
It's him.
really? Wait, are you kidding me?
No.
That was what?
Damn it.
Okay, so the next thing that came in is a monkey surfing on a suitcase.
So now that I've given you this, pretend you don't know it's Dunstan Checks In. You've got the points for knowing the film. This is what we're
Holy
going to expect
Christ.
from now on. Say you're an executive.
See, the funny thing is, that usually is going to be my first fake guess for everything, and I should have been
Oh,
doing that the
well,
whole
that's
time.
it. We can't do that
And now I
anymore.
can't.
We got there.
It's like when you finally guess your Wordle starter and it's right, and you're like, ah, shit, now I got to start
What
over.
do I, what are other five-letter words? Pretend you're an executive and I
Yes.
brought you this pitch and I said, okay, someone mocked up this fucking thing for me. What would you come up with for a plot for this? I gotta
So
sell
this
it
is a
by
monkey.
Tuesday.
Now it's an important factor is the monkey is wearing boxers,
That is
right?
true.
Surfing a suitcase, going real quick, and I'm just thinking,
I had not noticed this. This is why your eye is important to my company.
Chimp in Charge. No, yeah, Chimp in Charge, a spiritual sequel to Charles in Charge, where Scott Baio is psychically transferred to the mind of a chimpanzee,
God, I
and
would.
that's
Like my computer wore tennis
you're
shoes.
going right. Sure, we'll go with that. Now, beyond that, had I not seen the Empire State Building in the background, this could be any hotel in the world. So it could
Yeah, but it's
possibly
the
be like
Majestic Hotel.
he goes to Vegas And so there's a monkey in Vegas
As they are.
as they are.
Run amok, Chimps Casino.
And this is Chimps Casino. So wait, am I still coming up with names or plots?
I was letting you riff for a little bit,
Okay.
but
I mean, as far as a plot, clearly there's monkeys moving in, but he could also be transporting evidence. Like, but you know, it could
might be
be.
Marcellus
Listen,
Wallace's soul.
right, it could be. It is a very familiar looking case,
Yeah.
but the fact that it's not handcuffed to his hand foot leads me to believe that it's not as important
These
as
people
something like that.
photoshopped his foot to be gripping the side so it made sense when there's a handle right there. And he's surfing it.
Yes.
Who cares what he's gripping?
That's true. He's
Anyway.
also surfing it like with his hands behind his back, like a cool California dude.
That's true.
But the
So
suitcase has no wheels, so it's
it's.
even worse.
Yeah. Now that you've come up with a title and plot enough, what would you do for a tagline? And if you happen to come up with a tagline for Johnson Checks In, great.
Vacation is all monkey business. Something monkey business. It's all.
Okay.
Or, you know. No, yes, we have no bananas. But then I don't.
Yes, we
Oh,
have
we
no
have no
bananas.
bananas.
Okay.
This trip just went bananas. He's about to turn a 5-star hotel into a 3-ring circus.
That's actually a good segue. You got
That
it. It
is
really
good.
is.
That
I
is
was hoping
good.
you'd come up with something close,
Yeah,
but
well, I can't win them all,
yes. Well,
apparently.
the funny part is
We're out
he's
of
a
bananas.
circus. He's not a circus chimp, though. Where's he come
He's a
from?
trained professional.
He's a
Yeah.
thief. He's partnered up with Rupert Everett with.
Right, that's what it's what it's the fucking kid from the Santa Claus.
I believe so.
Yes, it's Eric Wood.
Yep, there he is.
He asked his dad for a chimpanzee. Is that what happened?
I'm seeing Paul Rubens, Glenn Shaddix, and Faye Dunaway,
Yeah, Faye
I
Dunaway's an
did.
Oscar winner.
I
Speaking
did
of Bonnie and
remember.
Clyde,
I
and
remember Paul
Jason
Rubens
Alexander
being
with
in
a
this.
wig. Oh,
I remember
he's not
Paul
the monkey.
Rubens. I used to love this movie. I've seen
I've
it
never seen
probably
it.
like once or twice, but I was just like, monkey hotel movie. I
Oh,
don't
you love it?
I don't know. I don't think
Someone gave it to me
I
as an Xmas
remember
gift.
right. I remember this being one of the few things that my grandparents let me rent. You know, so got a lot of love.
That's cute.
I don't think I ever owned it. I think Easy Video just made a lot of money off of my family renting this movie. Is
That's
that
cute,
it?
though.
Was that just the one poster
I
print?
we just had one this month. Remember, there weren't many good movies this month,
No.
and even then, there were barely any good posters. They're
I'm
all like
mad at
floating
myself.
heads, like the two if by sea is like him holding her and her looking happy. You know?
Yeah,
It's
see
not
what we
anything.
need is a remake of Two If by Sea with Dunstan
But I can make you
guest
see.
starring.
Great.
Introduce Dennis Leary and Sandra Bullock to they're being chased by, you know, the monkey steals the painting instead.
That'd be funny. Yeah, here's a two if by C. It's just there. It's the scene where they're when he's flirting and then ends up saying something stupid and gets kicked out of the bedroom.
Oh,
What do
yeah.
I don't know what to say.
It was cute.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah, whatever.
Jeez, you picked this.
That's
Well,
some bullshit.
we didn't have much of a
We all
choice.
make mistakes.
Yeah, it's fine.
This whole operation was your idea.
Speaking of Sandra Bullock, though, we were thinking of using her for Picks of the Month. So let me ask you what your favorite Sandra Bullock movie is, or what you would recommend for our audience. I mean, we all know from last month in the Best Of episode that I said While You Were Sleeping was my number one of the year. But let me try to think of another one.
I mean, I've
Actually, you know
always.
what? It's not even she's not even the main star, but she's a supporting character. And she's so ebullient in the role. I love Demolition Man.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's a good foil for Sylvester Stallone.
I mean, I've always been partial to Miss Congeniality, but I have to go with Gravity.
I thought he was gonna go with that.
Yeah.
Gravity fucking ruined me.
Gravity's really good. I thought Gravity should have won Best Picture that year.
Yeah.
No.
It was the year before Inarritu mastered his one take wonder.
Oh, Birdman.
Yeah,
Yeah.
because Birdman was after this, right?
I believe it's the next year, yeah.
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 So I think he wins for that.
Oh, wasn't this Alfonso Cuarón?
Yeah, this is Cuarón, not
This
Inarritu.
is Cuarón.
They're basically the same, but
Hold
still.
up. She was an executive producer on the George Lopez show?
Oh yeah, that's a great show, by the way. She's in a couple episodes.
Really?
Yeah.
Look at that. I never knew that.
Only as we watched used to watch George Lopez show.
He's a good comedian. I like him.
Oh, she
That
was
show wasn't that
Scarlet
bad.
Overkill.
Yeah, I forgot she was in Minions. I'm gonna go with something that I think you and I watched together, Corey. I don't remind me if did we see Infamous together?
I've not seen it.
I thought we saw that. Maybe I saw it and told you about it. Did we see
May have
Capote
seen
together?
Capote with you.
Okay, so you remember we saw that. We're like Philip Seymour Hoffman. incredible. But Toby Jones looks more like, what is his name?
Truman.
Yeah, Truman Capote, duh.
Yeah, I agree.
And so
Truman.
people were like, oh, that's the better film. But very clearly, Capote is the better film. But I would actually argue it. As much as I love Catherine Keener, and as much as what's his name does well as the criminal, Daniel Craig and Sandra Bullock really pull off great performances in Infamous. And
Okay.
that's 20 years old this year, so I think it's time to reclaim that both films are actually good in different ways. Capote is more of a moment in time biopic of his life, and this is more about like why would you clamp onto such a terrible event? Like what's going on in your life it's kind of it explores different aspects of Capote's motives in life. And I think it actually has more Harper Lee in this. So Sandra Bullock actually gets more to do than Catherine Keener does in Capote. Both of them are great, but I think this is kind of a hidden gem for Sandra Bullock's career, especially as she nears the time when she gets an Oscar for a dramatic role.
Right.
I'm sure Jimmy would pick Speed.
That's a great one. So I wouldn't know. You haven't seen it?
Did I never tell you my speed story?
No, unless
I
we talked
bought,
about it on the phone
well,
last.
in my, I used to go bargain bin hunting through, whenever we went to Best Buy or whatever in college. I would just get like all the bargain bin DVDs that I could afford at the time.
Right.
And one of them happened to be Speed. And finally, we're doing like a movie night at our friend's house, like 4 or 5 years later, and I bring over Speed, and then I crack it open, like it was still sealed, and it was disc two of a two disc set in a one disc case, which was just the bonus features.
So he could have
So
seen how they did the
I could
bus
have seen how
stuff.
they make
Yeah, come
it, but
on.
I had never, I did not get the movie with the movie.
And this was 20 years ago.
Right.
So we've still never gotten around to showing you Speed.
Yeah, so it's actually on the list,
That I'm
but
putting on the list for real.
yes.
Can we talk about Speed 2 when it comes out?
Sure. I've never seen that.
I actually like Speed 2.
I mean, Scott, is it Scott Speedman? Who's the guy that replaces
Jason
Keanu
Patrick.
in that? Jason Patrick.
Yeah.
Jason Patrick's not a terrible actor. We liked him in Geronimo.
No, I do like Jason Patrick. And Willem Dafoe is always a good villain.
Oh, he's the villain in that. I didn't even know.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if that's the first time I heard of him. Because I remember that being a big spread in Entertainment Weekly. And this is around when I start reading Entertainment Weekly a lot.
Okay. Yeah, I think I
Really?
had a subscription to it by then.
Yeah. When did Speed 2 come out?
I
Let's
actually think
see.
it came out in 96.
97.
So we'll talk about it
But
next
yeah,
year.
I would have been reading stuff around Christmas 96. Like that's when I was always going over my local theater because my parents would be in shows or directing and I'd be in stuff. And one of our friends had a subscription that he just left at the theater. So when I was waiting for them to get done with rehearsal, I'd be reading all these Oscar expectations or previews for the summer and stuff. So that's where my love of movies really comes from, is like learning about what's coming up, you know?
Yeah.
One of those was Speed 2. As for our next thing, I think I actually might have read this about this in Entertainment Weekly as well. We're going to cover Mary Reilly.
Yeah.
We're actually going to maybe do a special episode. We're going to highlight another film that's probably not a hidden gem, but it is compared to the other films in its series, Muppet Treasure Island. We thought it would be a little. We want to try and like take the roller coaster, not go straight comedy for a while. So we're going up and down, comedy, drama, comedy.
Right.
And we have another romantic comedy coming in March, so we're thinking Mary Reilly, which is sort of an adaptation of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It's from the perspective of his maid. Is that what it is?
Yes, chambermaid.
Okay. Yeah, I've never seen it. I've always wanted to. I knew of Julia Roberts from Pretty Woman, and she was one of the biggest stars of the 90s. So we're going straight from Sandra Bullock to America's Other Sweetheart.
Right.
And seeing her in one of her, I don't know if it's an Oscar play, but it's at least a drama compared to some of the other stuff she was doing around now.
Yeah.
I hear good things, so we'll see. And then we'll also get to talk about the Muppets franchise this way, because this is probably the most hidden gem of their 90s output.
Other than Muppets from Space, but that's
Yeah, but
not
that's
even,
not a
I
gem.
can't wait.
Not even a good movie.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, bring your lantern and tell me if they're coming too, if I see. Okay, I was trying something.
I will never understand. There was such a terrible title for this movie.
Would you like
Like,
Stolen Hearts better?
I feel like it's more fitting, honestly. Like, because other than the fact that they're in New England, like there's nothing else,
Yeah, it's
like.
vague about where they really are, and it's filmed in Canada.
Yeah, there's nothing calling to like this Paul Revere thing. Like, I don't understand if they were trying to steal like a relic or something
A
from him.
painting by of Paul Revere.
Right. Right, but no, it's literally just like, hey, let's come up with a clever title for something that takes place in New England and they're stealing art. I don't know, open a history book.
Could have been a
I don't know. I
romantic
just
comedy of national treasure.
Right, exactly. Which hell yeah, let's do that.
Well, the National Treasure is trying to be like the Mummy.
I need these two to reunite
He's
to steal
dying
the
too.
Epstein files.
Yeah, there is a famous John Singleton Copley painting of Paul Revere. Should just be that.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it has nothing to do with the
Not
plot.
that hard,
And if you're gonna
anyway.
lean so hard into that,
Yeah. Oh
there's
well.
not even like a signal to go. Like, if they had even used that signal, I'm sorry, I'm going off on a tangent here. I just think it was a terrible name for the movie. The movie was okay. The movie made it worse. The title made it worse. And
But
Jeff is ranting off into the
if I
distance.
had the rights, if we could get money, we'd get Paul Revere. I just was
That's
had my
cute.
mouth full.
Yeah, well.
Where's the baby?
As we
There
all
you
know.
go. That wasn't sarcasm. I was being genuine.
I bring over speed.